Bottom of hour two on a Thursday. We know what that means. Mike Grimm, Gopher Radio play-by-play announcer for the Learfield Radio Sports Network, joining the program. Mike, thanks so much for the time. A tough one indeed last night for the Gophers. It felt like the offense was plenty good enough to win, but they just couldn't stop the Illini.
Yeah, it was an unbelievable offensive game for both teams. I mean, you look at the box score and both teams would say, yeah, we would win that game. Certainly Minnesota would look and see that they scored 97 points and shot and made 14 threes. They were 14-20, 70%. They turned the ball over only five times. They played about as well as they could. In fact, they averaged, I think I saw they averaged 1.54 points per possession. And for the analytics geeks, that is an incredible number. And in the last 15 years of college basketball, there have been 302 games where someone has scored, a team has scored 1.54 points per possession or more, and 299 of those teams won. So two out of 302 lost, and the Gophers were the second last night. So that tells you how good they were offensively. And quite frankly, I don't think they were terrible defensively. I've not seen a team make shots and have shot making the way the Illini did last night in a long time. I mean, they were, you know, they were really efficient. They made some off balance, weird looking shots in the paint. Domask is their transfer from Southern Illinois, and you know, they basically ran the same play about 50 times in the second half, and just had him, you know, back down either Braden Carrington, Mike Mitchell, or Dawson Garcia into the paint. They just decided they didn't want to double team because there were so many 3-point shots that they made, and he really was a factor. So with all of that, you know, and they also knocked down some threes. So one of those weird games where, you know, I didn't think they were awful defensively, but yet you look and you're like, wow, they gave up 100 and whatever it was, 5 points or 100. Yeah, it was 105 points, I guess. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, it's a tough one to lose because it would have been a huge win, and you figure you did everything and then some for certainly an offense to get that big win. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they come away short.
And a little nugget here for us in Winona. Marcus Domask, the brother of Mason Domask, who spent 5 years at Winona State University. Now, after a game like this, where it feels like you can do everything you needed to win, and you don't get the win, are you worried about a little bit of a hangover here, Mike?
It's a good question. I don't think so. This team, over the course of the season, has traditionally responded pretty well. They've played, I mean, I count that as a game they played really well last night. And I think, you know, prior to the Nebraska game on Sunday, they had played about 8 really solid games. And this is a team that's not so great that, you know, that if you play a solid game, it's a guaranteed win. And so in that string, there's been 3 losses or so, I would say, in there that they played well in. Nebraska game, they did not play well. I thought they played pretty well at Iowa and at Purdue. I thought they played pretty well last night. They certainly played well at home against Michigan State and Rutgers and Ohio State. So, you know, they have responded. And if they, you know, if they play well, I mean, I don't think they'll play offensively like that maybe for a long time. But that doesn't mean that they can't still be pretty efficient and go win the next 2 at home, which would be big. That would then, I think, pretty well lock up an NIT situation. Mm-hmm. And then you go try to get, you know, more. Try to say, hey, yeah, it's great, we'll be in the postseason, but we want to be in that other tournament and see where it goes from there. But it's not, nothing's easy. You know, Penn State has played well of late. They gave Iowa a pretty good tussle the other night. They beat Illinois last week in Happy Valley, so it'll be a tough one on Saturday. I don't think, Jake, that there'll be a hangover. I think, in fact, this team has responded pretty well after losses, particularly losses like this in which they played well. I thought they played well at Iowa and responded with, you know, a good road game at Purdue. They ended up losing both those games. They actually shot well in both those games as well. And then, you know, won a couple of games in between there with Rutgers and Ohio State. So I look forward to having a nice game on Saturday.
Mm-hmm. You know, you mentioned, and we're speaking with Mike Grimm, Gopher Radio play-by-play announcer for the Learfield Radio Sports Network. You mentioned they're not good enough yet, or they're not great enough to play a great basketball game, and that guarantees a win. What do you notice from all the times you've covered this team? What's the next step that they need to take? And I've been saying a lot that this season's already a success. But in order to take that leap to the NCAA tournament next season, you know, what do you think specifically they have to do?
Yeah, I think age is a factor. So one more year of experience, you're just going to look. I mean, you look at the teams that are good. Illinois, for example, last night started. They played six guys who were 22 years or older. They had a 24-year-old and five 23-year-olds on that team and a 22-year-old. So, you know, you look at Northwestern. I mean, that's a team that, quite frankly, I don't think they're extremely talented. They're not, in terms of just pure roster, in terms of just, hey, let's go out and play in the, you know, on the blacktop, and you and I will be captains, and let's pick guys. It wouldn't be like Northwestern and Minnesota players would be out there, and you'd pick the first six guys off Northwestern. But they've got a point guard who's 100 years old, and that matters. You know, Boo Boo is really good. So, and that's not an excuse. I like the personnel. To me, the key thing for next year will be if you can get them all back and try to survive the transfer portal, while also maybe adding a piece or two from the portal to continue yourself to be good. Mm-hmm. I mean, Elijah Hawkins next year will be a senior, and he'll be another year older, and that will be good. And then, you know, from a pragmatic standpoint, just, you know, win a game like last night. You know, you played well enough, go close a game out. And I actually think this team's done okay in that regard, you know. And the Big Ten is just kind of this way. Like, good Big Ten teams, teams that I think are pretty darn good, are right kind of in the same range. If you look at the standings, there's, you know, a gaggle of about eight teams all within about a game of each other. You know, I think Minnesota quits itself pretty well against most of those, and we'll see what happens in the Big Ten. But I think one more year of experience, guys progressing. The same way that, you know, if they make progress this year to next year, what they did from last year to this year, talking about guys like Carrington, guys like Pharrell Payne, you know, and then these guys that came from the mid-majors that have been really good, you know, the two guards especially. Cam Christie makes the jump from freshman to sophomore. I mean, Cam Christie last night made some moves that you just look and say, that kid is going to be a pro player. If you're a Gopher fan, you hope it's not like right now. I don't think he's a one and done, but you hope that, you know, you get to reap the benefits of his skills for, you know, at least one more season.
It sort of feels like this was the game that would maybe give them a chance to get in if they win, and now that they lost, it feels like the NCAA tournament's just an absolute long shot unless they go on a run here in the Big Ten tournament. But on that note of keeping the players around, you know, I know it's very early and we're still not even done with the regular season. We're not done with this season, but, you know, what are your guesses? What are you feeling around the roster that it's currently constructed like? You know, are you confident they can keep a lot of these guys around?
I hope so. I mean, no one really knows with today's day and age, right? I would, you know, basically everybody but Jack Wilson, if they want, could come back, right? He's the only guy that does not have another year. Now, does Parker Fox want to come back? Now, you talk about age. He's at 25 years old now. Does he want to be a 26-year-old college student next year playing college basketball? I know that his knees, you know, are, you know, he had injury on both of them. Mm-hmm. He's icing those knees all the time. And it's not easy. He's like an old man, you know. you know, will he come back? I would love to see him back. He's been great energy off the bench. And, again, one more year older would help, I think, in every aspect for this team. NIL situation, you know, the way it is now, it's a free-for-all. And don't think that there aren't going to be some guys on this Gopher team that some other teams might not say, reach out to their handlers and say, hey, we can offer this or that. So if I had a hunch, you know, they're not going to bring everybody back. It just isn't realistic nowadays. That said, they have been pretty successful, I think, in in finding and targeting the right guys, particularly with this year's roster. So will it look a little different? Probably. But I think if they can get that core back, Garcia, Christie, Payne, Mitchell, Hawkins, I'm probably forgetting some guys, get that core back, then we'll see where things go. But it's just too hard to predict to know for sure. But it's not going to be the exact same roster, I don't think. And that's not a problem. You know, that's not like, oh, why can't they keep anybody? Or why is that guy leaving? Is there a big problem? This team's got really good chemistry. They've got some juice to them from that standpoint. So, someone leaves, I don't think it's like, oh, my gosh, what the heck? What's going on? What's wrong? It's just a reality we live in now.
Speaking with Gopher Radio play-by-play announcer Mike Grimm, I think my biggest worry would be Eli Hawkins, because in the game of college basketball, when it comes to tournament time, every team is looking for that veteran point guard, and guards are so important in the postseason in college basketball. So I would be worried about Eli Hawkins, and he's one guy that I would absolutely love to see back. Maybe Ola Joseph as well, who's been, I assume, frustrated with his play time. Hopefully he can stick around too for some depth. But looking at the season overall, and we're jumping through a lot of calendar flips here, talking about the transfer portal and whatnot, this team is a team that's 17-11. And when you look at the fact that the Wisconsin Badgers are 18-10, I think that's a really good example of how far this Gopher team has come. So how would you sort of sum up this season, and how good is it really for this program?
Yeah, I think it's, I would call this a solidifying season for the current regime that leads Gopher basketball. Ben Johnson, Dave Thorson, the rest of the gang. There were question marks, no question, after the second year, which was not very good. It was a step back from a first year that wasn't great. So the question was, how much solid footing would you have? And they were picked last by everybody. I mean, there was not a single poll, and I'm not arguing with that. Based on the evidence, that was probably the right pick. As it turns out, they're not the bottom team in the Big Ten. They have competed with everyone they've played. And so to me, it's a solidifier, I guess, is the way I'd term it. It's no doubt. I think there would have been bets, I don't mean literal bets, but although maybe literal bets as well now with sports gaming basically legal everywhere but in Minnesota. But my point is, I think most people would have speculated in November that there's probably going to be some talk about whether Ben Johnson's job is safe for the following season. You hit February, he could be on the hot seat, and the good news is he's not. They have solidified things. They've got a Mr. Basketball candidate, probably the favorite to win Mr. Basketball in Minnesota, set to come in as a freshman next year, and others. And so we'll see where that takes them. But I would call this a solidifying season, a needed step. I mean, without this kind of a season, there's all kinds of limbo and doubt. And, anyone who doubts it now, and I'm not saying that guarantees success, like they're going to be Final Four team in a year or two, but they've put themselves now that there's no doubt that this group is going to be back. There's no doubt that they're going to feel good about it this season, barring the trapdoor just totally collapsing and falling here in the last little bit of this season. There's as you mentioned, there's a lot to play for. It would take an amazing run to get them into the NCAA tournament now for various variety of reasons, but they would need to get into the weekend for sure in the Big Ten tournament and handle the rest of this regular season in convincing fashion. But I think that there's this team is a team that can beat anybody in the Big Ten, and that was not the case last year. So that you feel good about, and in the Big Ten tournament, nothing's guaranteed. But I feel good about hopefully Gopher fans showing up in big numbers and giving them a bit of a home court edge here in Minneapolis.
Have a little fun here at the end, Mike. We got about a minute tops to answer this question, putting you on the spot. If you had to pick now, which I'm making you pick now, who's winning the Big Ten tournament just 2 weeks from now?
Yeah, I'll go chalk and say Purdue will win it second straight. That's a boring answer. And you only gave me a minute. And, you give me a minute, that's like asking a you know, a thirsty guy to only drink a, you know, a sip of water when he's got a canteen, you know. I like to talk, so I'm speaking a little bit. I'm going to go Purdue. I like Purdue. I was really impressed with Illinois. You know, we hadn't seen them all year in person. I know my broadcast partner, Al Nolan, after the game was like, whoa, man, they're so much better in person. Mm-hmm. And I think that comes from shot making. They just were shot makers last night. And if they make shots like that, maybe they'll make some noise in March, too. But I know you can boo me. I'll go Purdue I'll go straight chalk and Purdue to win it. It would be awesome to see the Gophers get into the weekend, though, into the semis at least. And it's possible. Look, Thursday, as we mentioned, that big gaggle of teams, they can beat any of them. They'll have a little home court edge, I hope. And maybe they can pop a win on Thursday and Friday and pop into the semis. And then you never know. Last year, Penn State as a 10 seed made it to the semis. Ohio State as a 13 seed made it to the semis last year. So why not the Gophers near their home campus this year?
I like that. Why not? Mike Grimm, Gopher Radio play-by-play announcer. Mike, as always, thanks so much for the time. We'll talk next week.
Yes, sir. Enjoyed it. Thanks, Jake.